Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
On TV and radio and magazines and on websites, we're told continually by advertisers, celebrities, even politicians actually, to buy, to eat, to consume, to have the latest, to keep up with fashions. But once we've got all that stuff, you've got to ask the question, are we any happier? Are we any more content? Are we any more fulfilled? Ron Sider is with us again. We're doing a series on simple living, how we can break free from the materialistic treadmill, so to speak, and be more generous to those in need. Ron Sider, welcome again.
Good to be with you.
How might we be affected by materialism without us really even realizing it?
Well, I think that the modern market economy that we all live in basically tells us that we get joy and fulfillment through more and more things. The advertising, of course, says that explicitly. That's the general lesson, the general message that gets conveyed by so much of contemporary society. And so people look for genuine joy and fulfillment, and they look for it in the wrong places. You know, finally, we get joy and fulfillment through a right relationship with God and neighbor, more than with material things, although we need that too. And if we try to satisfy our longing for the infinite God with material things, it just backfires. We desperately search more and more frantically to satisfy that deep longing for the infinite. And when we do it in things, you know, it never works because the finite will never satisfy us.
Well, last week you walked us through a biblical understanding of wealth and possessions. Very, very helpful. Tonight we need to explore some of those practical ways of actually resisting consumerism. And anybody who has studied advertising in any way knows the very complex psychological tactics that are employed to sell a product. The appeal to felt needs, the appeal to our desire for social acceptance, the appeal to our desire for self-esteem. Do you think it's actually possible for us to resist advertising in those kinds of ways?
Well, I think it's very hard, but I do think it's finally possible. I think only, however, if we are part of a community of believers that together says we're going to resist the big lie, is it really possible to do it in any significant way. But yes, I think it's possible to follow Jesus, even in a modern materialistic society, and we must figure out how to do it. And an understanding of the lie of advertising, I think, is right at the center of it. The bank that I was using when I wrote the first edition of Rich Christians was Philadelphia Bank that had an advertisement, and it ran, "Put a little love away. Everybody needs a penny for a rainy day. Put a little love away." And I quoted that and said, this is a marvelous illustration of the lie of advertising. We don't get love. We don't get joy from money, from a bank account. We get love from personal relationships. And it just happened that my our first son won a math contest in the city that was sponsored by this bank. And so we went with Ted to sit down and enjoy an evening dinner put on by the bank. And when I sat down at the table, the person right across from me I saw was the advertising executive for this bank. I said, "I'll never get another chance like this." So I said, "I used your ad in my book." And she smiled broadly, and then I told her how I used it. And she said two things. She said, "You're right, that is a big lie. And second, it's the most successful ad we've ever had."
What does that say?
It tells us that lying works in important ways. And only if we have a biblical understanding of the right relationship between God and persons and material possessions can we, in fact, resist that. And even then, we have to have more than just a biblical perspective. We've got to have brothers and sisters who walk with us to help us live differently.
Yes, you've mentioned that twice now, actually having a group where we do this together. It's not just individual pursuit. When we then gather together and say, this is what we want to do, we don't want to be so dictated to by the great lie, as you put it. What practical things then can we do when it comes to actually confronting ads, when it comes to confronting consumerism? What can we do practically to then start to resist?
Well, I think if you just get clear that we're not going to believe that lie and that we're going to encourage each other to, in fact, spend less on ourselves so we can share more with others, that'll enable us to be less seduced by the advertising. you know, I think sometimes we ought to just laugh at ads and even say with our kids to certain kinds of ads, you've got to be kidding. You know, help them to see the subtle lie in advertising. I think all of that will help us.
Yes, you're learning to laugh at ads and do it as a family. That's quite a good thing. Of course, we must say, and especially since we're on a broadcast medium right now, ultimately, advertising itself, there's nothing really wrong with promoting a product, so to speak, is there?
It's fine to share information about new products. That's part of what advertising does. What's destructive is that advertising manipulates us and appeals to wrong things in us, to our selfishness, to our pride, and then even tells us the big lie that the way you get joy and fulfillment is through more and more things. So advertising is good when it's simply making knowledge about products available. It's destructive when it manipulates and distorts and tells us lies.
Ron Sider is with us. We're talking about Living Simply. He's the author of that very well-known book, Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger. Anybody, again, who's studying marketing or advertising knows that branding has become the kind of big thing in the last two decades in particular. And the whole purpose of a brand, obviously, is to kind of create an emotional bond with the consumer, to make them feel like their life would be incomplete without the product. At the same time, brands can actually be good things too. What should our relationship with a brand be?
A brand can develop if a company has a product that is good, that has quality, that's needed, and that's positive. So you can come to depend on certain companies to produce a good product that'll be reliable and work well and so on. It's destructive when they try to develop a brand loyalty to things that are not needed. I think Coke is probably one of the classic examples. You know, it's not even good for you, and yet almost everybody around the world, no matter how poor, thinks that Coke is the way to do it. You know, there's branding and brand loyalty to a product that's really not needed or helpful at all.
Well, that raises the question then as to the products themselves. You think there's still a place for boycotting products these days?
Yes, if we do it wisely. There's not much point in just you and I saying, well, let's boycott this or that. Only if you've got a large movement of people who decide together to boycott a product does it have any significant impact. And then it really does. And in order to make that effective, you need to have a rather clear connection between the product and what's wrong with it and the boycott. When people around the world boycotted companies selling infant formula in the developing world using nurses to go around and try to persuade poor mothers who ought to be breastfeeding their children because it's a lot cheaper and a lot safer, that the Western way, the sophisticated Western way, is to use bottled milk. That was very destructive, and the boycott was effective. It was a clear issue. You understand the connection. And people did that by the hundreds of thousands, millions, and it had an impact.
Of course, that raises the question, like you said, about the information you have about the product. That's hard to get. How do you get decent information and have the time to go and research every product that you use, too?
No, you can't do all of that. But that's what organizations that are working on that sort of thing do, and they can be very helpful. You know, there's an Intervate Center on Corporate Responsibility in this country that works on some of those things. We need organizations that will develop a reliable position so that we know that they're accurate, and then we can organize boycotts that are effective.
What we are very clear on is that we need to be critically minded when it comes to advertising, and particularly I love what you've said about the big lie, that happiness will be found in things rather than a relationship with God. I think if we start off with that, we'll be a little bit more savvy. All right, next week, let's talk about some practical ways to spend less. Thanks again for your time, Ron.
Good.
Ron Sider, author of Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger and our guide to more simple living.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.